Classic Business. Philanthropy.
Well, companies spent an estimated 10.2 billion rand on corporate social investment in the country this year. That's a 5% year-on-year increase in nominal terms, but really flat if you look at inflation. It obviously reflects a subdued economic environment, but considering how depressed the economy has been, it is encouraging to see that this number hasn't gone backwards in real terms. That's according to findings from the 22nd edition of the annual Trialogue Business in Society Handbook, and that was launched in Joburg last week. I've got Cathy Duff, Director of Trialogue, on the line. Cathy, 22 years that this handbook has been going for. It's quite some feat. So before we dive into the headline figures, just a reflection on the Trialogue Business in Society Handbook and how it's evolved over that period.
Yes, thank you, Michael. We started out really just trying to collect data on what companies were doing with their social investments. And at the time, it was interesting because companies were fairly reticent to share even the amounts they were spending. So there's been massive progress over that time, to the point now where we obviously collect loads of data, and most of it is also publicly available for the large companies. Corporate social investment is well embedded in what companies do. There's good information on it. I think so. Part of the evolution has been transparency. Part of it's been that corporate social investment has become more strategic. And I think from the publication itself, to mark the 20th edition 2 years ago, we renamed the publication from the CSI Handbook to the Business and Society Handbook. And I think we did this to reflect the broader role of business and society and the increasing focus of businesses and of various regulations. I heard you just talking about the MPRDA, but also obviously social and ethics committees, etc. The fact that the role of business and society is more mainstream, it's being talked about more, and we wanted our book to be a bit broader, so the publications become a bit broader than just focusing on corporate social investment. And this 22nd edition, the overall theme of the book was how businesses can contribute in essentially the most unequal society in the world. So what can businesses be doing in their corporate social investment, but also outside of that, to contribute to greater equality in the country?
And I think that is such an important theme in South Africa today. No one can argue with the fact that we are the most unequal society in the world. I know many who kind of shrug their shoulders and raise their eyebrows when you talk about what business can do, and they say, well, government should be doing that with our taxes. But even if we had the most effective and efficient government in the world, business would still have to be rolling up its sleeves and finding out how we can get involved and help to try and ensure that we move on from our terrible past. And it was interesting you mentioned this whole purpose of business idea. Michael Jordan tweeted this morning, the purpose of business is to solve the problems of people in the world profitably and not to profit from causing more problems. And that really does embody the new spirit with which I think corporate social investment is being taken. You said it is more strategic. Do you have examples through the data on how companies are using CSI as a strategic tool to create a lasting impact?
So I think it's shifted from being quite reactive, where, you know, 20 years ago companies received hundreds if not thousands of applications regularly and sifted through them and responded without really thinking of how they could apply their business competencies and skills to social issues. And that's shifted. Companies have become a lot more proactive in identifying focus areas and projects and programs where they can contribute more than just cash. So that's better for the project and the social cause, but it is also better for the business because the projects are more aligned to the business, so there is business benefit coming out of that. In terms of the stats, we asked the question this year, how many companies use or take this concept of shared value into account when they set their CSI strategies. And 86% of our respondents said that they do take the concept of shared value into account, meaning that their CSI should not only have a positive impact on society, but also have a positive impact on the business. So we've increasingly seen that move to be more strategic, to the point that I think about 5 years ago, we launched what we call the Trilogue Strategic CSI Award, where we identify each year, well, we don't, but it's a competition and there's independent judges who identify one winner, which is a good example of a strategic CSI program. And this year, that award was given to Investec for their ProMass program, which they've been supporting for many years. It's a maths and science program, so obviously it's linked to their business in terms of the skills that they require. And the program runs, you know, right through school, and then they link that to their bursary program and into their business.
And I see from the research that is it's one of the areas that receives the bulk of the spending, education.
Yes. So for as long as we've been doing the research, education has received the bulk of spend. And over 90% of companies support at least one project in the education field. And half of all CSI expenditure goes towards education initiatives. So it's by far the most supported sector by corporates. Mm. And I think it makes sense because it's really speaking to the kind of skills gap.
Yeah, and the apex sort of challenge in society today, if we're going to make meaningful impacts into things like poverty and inequality, you have to start at the base of the pyramid and ensure that you are creating a level playing field and opportunities for individuals to go out and earn a living. Now, on the other side of this, and you mentioned impact, I think that there is a growing tendency to view government with suspicion. We can't be ignorant of the last 10 years and the sort of scandals that we've seen with state capture and the lack of trust between business and government. So very often we see if business is choosing to doing something, it works in silos and perhaps not in partnership with government. Is this something that you are seeing through your research? And what does that sort of fragmentation mean for impact ultimately?
Yes. So I do think that this CSI spend is still extremely fragmented. You do have all the companies doing their own projects. That's not to say that those projects don't have an impact where they are operating, but they are not certainly changing the system. So I think there is definitely room for more collaboration and more collaborative initiatives in different sectors with government. There's a nice example in the education sector, the National Education Collaboration Trust, which has now been running a few years, which is trying to look at a more collaborative, bigger approach, more systemic. So it's happening in bits and pieces, but by and large, that the $10.2 billion is still fragmented across thousands of companies, and there's not, you know, it's not being pooled. Education really is transformational, as you just mentioned, and we do have two articles in this year's handbook that look at how might some of your investment in education be used to affect more systemic change. So there's an article on the importance of research and just showing how little research we do in the education field, considering how huge the government expenditure is. If you look at the kind of R&D in the field, it's very low compared to other countries. So is that an area that corporates can invest in order to try and contribute to more systemic change?
And I know, Kathy, Nick Spall, who is very highly regarded in the field of academic research, is rather disparaging of the private sector effort because he says it just pales into insignificance. If you look at the quantums of money that are spent on CSI, you're talking about $10.2 billion in total, of which just over half of that is going into education, whereas the budget of the Department of Education is an order of magnitude larger than that. What impact could this kind of CSI spend hope to achieve? And is it not better to perhaps rather channel it into lobbying government to be the main engine and driver of this change?
That's exactly right. The amount sounds big, but it is tiny when you compare it particularly to government expenditure. And so I think it's important to look at how you can leverage that spend to try and influence the system. That's not to say, and I don't think it's wrong, for companies to put a portion of their spending towards programs that are going to have an impact, but not a systemic one. So, you know, you might even be looking at a maths and science program like I was talking about and say, that's influencing a couple thousand learners every year, which is great. And those learners are getting better marks in math and science. They're getting admission to tertiary institutions. So there is an impact there, but it's not systemic. So do we want to allocate a portion of our funds to the more systemic work, which might be research, it might be advocacy, it might be looking at piloting in collaboration with government, different types of initiatives. So our advice would always be to consider those more leveraging type of projects, but they're a lot longer term and a lot higher risk.
Yeah.
So if companies want to include in their portfolio the more direct interventions, where you know you're having an impact on a certain small number of learners, you know, that's not a bad thing. But just also consider the root problem and whether you want to put some money towards more systemic interventions.
And those are obviously a lot more difficult to measure, monitor and evaluate.
Difficult to measure, yeah. Longer term. And there's always the risk that the policy doesn't change or that the pilot doesn't work. You know, and you've got to go into it knowing that and accepting that.
Well, Kath, there's always so much to talk about in this very dense book full of qualitative and quantitative information on CSI spend. So we're going to have to invite you back in the new year for a panel discussion on this. I believe you're away next week. So have a great break, great rest, and we'll chat to you in 2020.
Thanks, Michael.